Draper City Talk is a podcast produced by the Municipal Government of Draper City, Utah, where we discuss local government services and issues and the community at large. Well, welcome. We're back to do another episode of Draper Talk, and it's always fun to do, and I've got some really great people to talk to today about probably one of the more important subjects we can really talk about. So I'm excited. I would like to introduce Linda Peterson. She's our Draper City Communications Director. Linda.
Hi, nice to be here.
Thank you. And Linda's the technical brains behind Draper Talk and keeps it all going. And so our guest today, we have some awesome ladies that do good work here in Draper and around our community. And so first is Cynthia B. And Cynthia is the Jordan Valley Water Conservation District person. Say hello, Jennifer, or Cynthia.
Hi.
All right, and then we have Jen Jastrzemski, Draper City Community Development Director. Jen.
Hi.
All right, and these two ladies, Cynthia working from the Jordan Valley perspective, and what we're talking about today, if you haven't figured it out yet, is water conservation. The council just recently passed and adopted a water-wise landscaping code. Am I saying that right, Jen?
Yes.
And we modeled it after the Jordan Valley Water Conservation District's kind of plan and model, and so that's what we're talking about. I want to go down to kind of one of the main topics is, if you think that we're outside the drought, I've had people say to me, why are we worried about conservation? We had this wet year, the drought's over. Well, is the drought over?
You know, we just have to have a different way of living.
It doesn't matter if the drought's over.
It doesn't. Drought isn't the reason.
Yeah, drought's not the reason. That's right.
It's a complicator and an exacerbator, but the reason is growth.
Second driest state in the country, Utah, still holding our position. The only place drier, New Mexico, right?
Correct.
Okay, so if the reason we're talking about this today is because we need to change our mindset as a community and all communities across Utah. There is absolutely no reason that we should water and grow our lawns and our yards like England, right?
Right.
We don't get the rain England gets or any of the British Isles. We get very little rain. In fact, Cynthia, you were telling me earlier on as we were getting ready to talk about this, tell us a little bit about how is our system set up, our water collection system?
So 95% of our water supply comes as a direct result of snowpack.
So 95%.
So we're very, you know, we don't get good snowpack or we have really dry soils and the snow doesn't run off as much, you know, in the spring. It puts us in a really vulnerable position. And so we have reservoirs so that we can hold water in years of plenty for those times when we simply don't have the supply. And the only reason that we did not have a wide-scale crisis last year was because of that supply and the water that we didn't waste when we had it.
Right. And that's the point, right? So if 95% of the water is coming out of the snow, we had an amazing snow year this year, the best ever. Mm-hmm. Great. That's awesome. Maybe we'll have two, maybe we'll have three. I don't know. But it doesn't matter because that snowpack can fill these reservoirs. Hopefully they all get full, including Lake Powell, all of it. But in the meantime, the point is we have really no business watering yards of huge amounts of lawn and other right. things, especially like park strips where you really get the benefit out of watering your park strip. And I've never seen a park strip that's been watered efficiently, right?
It's systems, just they're not designed to work in spaces less than 8 feet. The
asphalt
overhead spray
gets a lot of water, sidewalk gets a lot of water, and it's a bunch of wasted water. And so the conservation mindset, I mean, Governor Cox has talked about it plenty. It's a good mindset to have because we truly live in a scarce commodity, water.
I mean, right.
We're in the desert, right?
And to the other, you know, people tend to think of landscapes in those extremes. It's either what I have that I like, or it's the false argument, the two-decision argument, whatever, where you've got this or that.
Right.
Or it's cactus and lava rock. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a range of landscapes in between. There's some variability based on your needs, how your family wants to live, how you're going to use your yard. You can still have some lawn. We're just going to have less of it, and we're going to put it in places where it functions as a recreation surface rather than just being a default ground cover.
And that's great. We're going to get into all that, but I just wanted to make sure that as we're talking about, as you listeners are listening, this is really about creating a conservation mindset that's good for the future, smart for you, because it's a lot less money to water the way that we're going to talk about. It's also, I think, prettier, more functional, and beautiful, but it really puts you in a position of you're not part of the problem. Because as we continue to grow, and we're still one of the fastest growing states, because we have a lot of kids, which is awesome. We need to do that. We need more water. So the more we can conserve, the better off we are. And I think that as we talk about this, you're going to find out that you can do it in a way that's you'll like. So.
You know, and I want to just one more point I want to make that we've all heard the statistic that most of the water in Utah is used by agriculture. And that's an easy soundbite, but it misses the bigger part of the story. So why are we talking to homeowners? Well, it's all about the water that's available to serve you. And in terms of the water that we're delivering, the only people that can deliver water to your house is coming from us through WaterPro and Draper City.
Right.
That's the only people delivering water to you. And the water in that system for Jordan Valley, 75% of the water we're delivering is single-family residential.
Okay, so that's a great statistic. Mm-hmm. So don't, if you're using that, oh, it all, the farmers are using it all.
Uh-huh.
Not the case for you.
Right.
75% of all the water, well, 100% of the water that comes to your house, you're using. But 75% of all your water, Jordan Valley's water.
Correct.
What reservoirs do you?
So Jordanelle, Deer Creek. So it's about the water that's available to serve you. So
right.
It doesn't really matter what a farmer in, I mean, it does matter. But to you personally, in
right.
terms of your supply, whatever someone in Cache Valley or Central Utah is doing, it doesn't impact you.
So
that water could not be moved to serve you anyway.
The conservation is going to be, it's going to create more supply. We'll have more. The less you use, the more we have for the future and for those down years that we're going to get again. So awesome. Jen, let's talk a little bit about what we just did, what the council just did as an ordinance. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what the council just passed this last Tuesday.
Yeah, so we overhauled our entire landscaping standards for both residential and commercial development to require and encourage water-wise landscaping and set some restrictions. You know, single family, we're limiting how much turf you can have in your yard to 35%, and that's the front yard. If you have slopes in your yard of 25% or greater, we're saying you can't have turf on that because there's not a way to effectively water that turf. Prohibiting grass within areas that are 8 feet or less because, again, it's hard to effectively water it.
And then, of course, the ordinance's goal is to get people to go, oh, how could I change my landscaping,
mm-hmm.
one, to meet the ordinance, but two, to actually be more water efficient.
Yes.
And we think, and what's your, as you look at it, how do you think it drives the conservation?
Yes. So the ordinance does have references to local scapes through Jordan Valley and lists out the principles of local scapes, requires that design be used when people are redoing their yards. It also has irrigation standards for commercial, office, multifamily, where they have to be water-wise irrigation, have to use drip systems, limited on how much grass they can have. For single family, we're not requiring every irrigation system to be water-wise, but we are encouraging it. And obviously, if you're going to do local scapes or take advantage of any of the grants that Jordan Valley has, you're going to have that water conservancy component.
So our ordinance is really geared to drive people to kind of get with what Jordan Valley's doing.
Correct.
And so let's talk about Jordan Valley delivers water. I mean, their real job is to make sure we have drinking water.
Right.
And that's their job, right?
Right.
But their secondary job is become how can we conserve and so we can make sure we have supply down the future.
It's a balancing of supply and demand. You can't deliver what doesn't exist.
Indeed. And so, and one of the things Jordan Valley has done is they've created a garden, an area, where you can go see how to do what our ordinance talks about. So let's talk a little bit about the Local Scapes program. Give us a kind of a rundown.
So in 2014, we looked at, you know, why are people not choosing to landscape more efficiently? And we thought it was financial, which that's a big part of it. But it was really that they weren't really sure what they were supposed to do. And it threw down a challenge for our team. And in fact, one of the residents that we interviewed said, you know, we equate conservation with sacrifice. I'm giving up something of greater value for something of lesser value for the good of other people. And that really hit me. And as I started to think about that, I said, oh, and we're expecting you to change something you already like for something you think you hate, spending a whole bunch of money to do it. Like, who can sell that? Nobody can sell that, right? But the key was that they thought it was of lesser quality. So the challenge to our staff was, how can we create a type of landscape that solves problems people are already trying to solve for in their yard in a way that produces water conservation as an outcome and gives them something more attractive, better than what they had before, and that result is local scapes.
Yeah, and I think when you look at neighborhoods, and sometimes part of the big lawn is a sort of a status of, you know, I have a big lawn, I have a nice big green lawn, it's a spread, it sort of says, you know, I've made it. I mean, this is kind of how it is, right? Because that's what lawn used to be in England. If you had a big spread, that was a symbol of, you know.
Now we refer to a 90% lawn yard as a cheapskate.
A cheapskate.
Because it's the opposite. It's that I can't afford to do something nicer, and so this is what I had. So with the rebates, we're helping people be able to afford to make those changes because we understand it's a little more expensive to install it up front, but the payoffs long term are huge.
So last year, in the process of 2 years, I decided I want to be an example. And number two, I hate mowing lawns and edging. I hate all of it. I hate yard work in general. My wife loves it, but I don't. But we decided we were going to put our money where our mouth was and go. And so if I'm going to talk about conservation, I'm going to do it. I have, in my neighborhood, we have a 10-foot park strip. I got to ask Jen why we ever let 10-foot park strips be the thing, but we have one. And so you might not think much about it, but if you try to dig the grass out of a 10-foot park strip with a shovel, you're going to hate the 10-foot park strip. I think they're beautiful to look at. I personally dug my park strip out. Don't recommend it. It was hard work. But once I was in it, I'm the kind of guy that I gotta finish. But we decided we're going to start with our park strip, so we did. And we got with Localscapes. We got with Jordan Valley. We did it beforehand. Because one of the things you have to do in this is if you want to do this process, you've got to get, you don't start on it until you get out with the Jordan Valley folks and get it approved.
Right.
And then they know what you're doing. And then you have the opportunity for the rebate. So we did that. And I can tell you my water usage, as soon as we had the drip irrigation in, it was astounding how much it dropped. Money, saved us money. I mean, it looks beautiful.
And the other advantage is if you want to control weeds, you have to control water.
One
thing we find that people don't realize, they say, oh, I have planting beds, so I have weeds, but they don't understand, well, you're putting six times more water, if you're watering it the same as the lawn, six times more water on them than they need on 100% of the surface. That's called cultivation.
Yeah. Now, I will disagree with you about elm trees. They seem to be able to grow anywhere.
It's true.
Like in my rain gutters, quite nicely. Those trees are beautiful, but they're a menace. Anyway, so with respect to the localscapes, how does a person, so let's say they've listened to this or they've seen our ordinance get passed, what do they do? Step one.
So localscapes is kind of the what to do and how to do it, and we have a free online class series. We also, in spring and fall, teach classes right here in Draper City where we add some additional information that applies specific to Draper residents. And this fall, we'll be doing a tour of the Conservation Garden Park specifically for Draper residents to address their concerns and how to use the garden.
And but, Linda, on our website, we have a link to where we can show what the classes are. My wife went to a couple of those classes. Your classes are awesome. So they start out with the online class or the live class.
Yep. You'll apply for rebates and the program through utahwatersavers.com. That's the gateway.
Okay.
And they'll go through and explain what, you know, as you go through Utah Water Savers, it'll show you, okay, here's what you need to do. And they have it very ordered out in step-by-step instruction. But you will apply to the program once you're accepted and in the program, then you start your project.
And then if you follow the project as you outline it with Localscapes, then you get the rebate. And the rebates it doesn't pay for all of it, but it's nice. It does lessen the cost.
And because Draper City has adopted water efficiency standards to get a handle on the impact of new growth on our water supply, and they're willing to step up in that way on the part that only the city can step up on, you have the land use authority, we're coming in on the back end through the Water Conservancy Districts and then funding that comes through the Division of Water Resources from the Utah State Legislature. And Draper residents are actually in the sweet spot because you're going to qualify for funding that basically gets combined from all three of those sources. So you're getting the highest rebate payouts. So for someone that would have done a localscape 2 years ago before all of these changes, we might have paid that out at, 75 cents a square foot. And now you're going to be looking at up to $3 a square foot. So it's almost three times more than it was. So it can be pretty substantial, the difference between $3,000 and $12,000,
It's a lot. I know Draper residents, and I think I do after all my years, they like the sweet spot. If they can be in it, that's where they want to be. So folks, you're in the sweet spot. That's great. I mean, we did the rebates. It was much less than that. But
yeah.
it was still, we didn't do it for the money. We did it to, you know, I wanted to show that I believe in conservation. I like the Teddy Roosevelt version of conservation, though. Teddy Roosevelt preserved Yellowstone, and, you know, he saw the vision of, you're not giving up something, you're preserving something. You're creating something that everyone can enjoy. And if you save water, you're creating a future for all Utahns because we'll have water to use.
And when people do a localscape, the way we knew we had the right solution is that, you know, the first few people that did it, their neighbors like, oh, you're going to be so sorry. And then the yard ends up beautiful. May have lawn, it may be lawnless. That's a choice you can make. But almost everyone that has finished a full front yard localscape, it becomes the standard for the neighborhood. Like everyone looks at it and says, I want a yard like that.
Yeah, it's,
and so we hit that spot of where people look at it and go, no, that's desirable. That's better than what I had.
And we've what I'd like to do, and I'll tell Linda this, is I'm telling her for the first time, so I'm giving her a job. I'd like to get photos, if we could, of folks who have done it. We put on our website so you can see what it looks like. Because there's some beautiful, there's a yard over on Willow Springs Drive that they did their park strip on, and it is, I think it's a couple years old now. The plants have filled in. Gorgeous.
And I'll make sure to leave a link that where you can go in and search by, we have a inspiration gallery, and you can search by Draper, and you can see the people just in your city that have done it, or you can see the whole valley. But there's we have hundreds of people who've successfully done this.
Yeah, thousands. Today at 1 o'clock, the news, which channel is it?
KUTV.
KUTV is coming out. They wanted to talk about our ordinance. And so we're going to have this talk about our WaterWise ordinance. And my wife said, well, I'd like them to come see what we've done. And I was like, okay. So they're coming to my house, and we're going to kind of walk through it. So, Jen, tell us a little bit about what have you heard from citizens as we've been talking about this ordinance and now that we've passed it?
Most of the conversations I've had with citizens is excitement. They've been waiting for this ordinance to get adopted. They're excited to apply for these grants and start ripping their grass out, whether it's just the park strip or the whole yard. So I think we're going to see people taking advantage of the grants and these changes. And I'll say to people who are kind of on the fence, the conservation garden the Jordan Valley has is phenomenal. Just go out there and walk it, and you can see what options are out there. And they even have, like, different, you know, types of plantings to show you kind of themes that you can do. It's just a phenomenal garden.
And we can put a link to that place. And
yes. On the Draper City website, draperutah.gov, there's a link, a landscaping link under the residence menu. And that page has all of those resources, including links to the Utah Water Saver rebates.
Well, I'm glad to hear that it's mostly been excitement because, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes we'll get folks who are, and so I want to talk to this as well about the other part of it. So we hear about farmers, you know, farmers are using, so that creates a narrative of, well, why even do it? Because I can't really make any difference. But you said something earlier, you ain't getting the farmer's water anyway.
It's the water that's available to serve you in the system where it can even be delivered. You know, people think the water supply is all connected the same way as roads, and it's really
that's
not.
That's right. And that's a key. So if the farmers quit using it tomorrow, it's not coming to you.
Right. Well, and all water quality is not the same. I mean, water before it hits Utah Lake is a whole different quality standard than water after.
Indeed. It's right. I mean, I remember back, you remember back in the days when we finally banned dogs in Corner mm-hmm. Canyon?
Yep.
And I have to tell you, folks, if you didn't come to that meeting, that was one
was
of the craziest meetings. We had a room full of dog people that wanted to let their dogs just poop everywhere. And they're like, well, my dog ought to have the right. I don't need any ordinances. And so we were like, the next meeting when we adopted it, I decided I'm going to get some of the other side of this argument, like some medical folks, some bacteria, you know, water folks that do water quality. And it's a no-brainer. I remember Doug Wright called me in the Doug Wright Show, and he said, hey, I want to interview you about this whole dog and the dog poop in the canyon business. And I said, oh, no problem. So I got a bottle, a clear bottle, a plastic bottle, and I dissolved a Snickers bar in it, and I mailed it to Doug. And he got it, and he called me, and he said, this is disgusting, Mayor. I said, yeah, it's a candy bar. But imagine that being dog crap, because that's what it was. The bacteria level in Corner Canyon Creek before, and Water Pro was like, hey, look, we got a problem here. We're either going to cut you guys out of the canyon. This is great water we have. We can't let these dogs. After we do the dog ordinance and people for the most part adhere to it, and if you don't, you're going to get a ticket. There's no mercy for you. You're going to pay the fine. We're serious about it. But that creek all of a sudden within like a year went back to drinkable.
Right.
And that's, you know, and I think it's a sacrifice we all should make to keep, you know, and so we've been on this conservation thing for a while, And as people look at it, they think, well, you know, the farmers. Then we talk about Utah Lake or the Great Salt Lake. You know, we've heard all winter about how it's going to dry up and turn into a arsenic bowl, and we're all going to get cancer, right? I don't want it. But now the Great Salt Lake's getting a crap ton of water, if you will.
Return flow water, so yeah, it kind of is
a high flow, if you will. but talk about that for a second, because you made a comment earlier when we were talking that people used to think, well, if I don't use my irrigation water, so if you have secondary water, if I don't use it, it's almost like it's like government budgeting. If I don't use it, I'm going to lose it. But it's like, if I don't use it, it'll just get wasted in the Great Salt Lake.
Right. You know, and that was very common, like when I first started doing this in 2010, that was pretty commonly, you know, it's a commonly held belief across all water users, really, that the lake was just a dumping ground for whatever. And it's been really neat to see in the last few years how much effort's gone in and how Utahns have just responded and understood that, no, it's a critical part. It's like the reason we get as much water as we do in part is that lake effect snow. And, you know, it's critical. It's like a downward spiral toilet bowl, right? The lower the lake gets, the lower our water supply gets. And our future fortunes for water along the Wasatch Front are completely tied to the health of the lake.
Yeah, who knew that? I mean, most people, you're right. I mean, it probably comes from when Brigham Young got in the valley and they saw that beautiful lake and they went out there and got a drink and they were
had to be pretty disappointed.
Oh, you know, somebody better make a dam for one of these creeks or we're going to die out here. But the lake is a central part of our whole water system because the lake affects snow, adds to the snowpack, which is where we get all of our drinking water from the snowpack. 95%, right?
95%.
So when you talk about conservation, if more water gets in that lake, you're not giving up something. You're actually giving us, you're doing something to create great value, like the future.
Right.
Like life.
Right.
The whole thing. So it's really worth doing. If a resident wants to get started, and look, I'm gonna tell you just my own personal experience, it's work to change your landscaping. And so, but there are a lot of contractors now that are up to the speed of it. Now, I dug out my 72-foot park strip, 10 foot wide with a shovel. Don't do it. It was dumb. Shouldn't have done it. The front yard, I had a guy come by with a backhoe, and he did it in like 7 minutes, like dug all my grass out. It took me like months. So there is a trade-off. Like you can say, okay, I'm going to do it this way. You know, some of the money's best spent in some of that hydraulic technology where we use backhoes that can do it.
Well, and now that you can get a good, now it's a rebate that's paid out when your yard is finished. So it's not money that you get to do the project as you go along, because that wouldn't be a good use of taxpayer money, but it's after you've completed the project, and that's kind of the receipt for having done what, you know, the grants are for. So it's easier to justify getting help on things like that when you know that
you're going to get some money coming back on the end. It's, you know, and getting a professional, like at least someone who can remove turf is important, because one thing about turf I learned is it wants to be turf. It doesn't want to come out of the ground that bad. It's weird. When you want to keep it green, it does it. When you want to get it out of your yard, it's like, it's a dichotomy I'll never understand. But because my park strip would have these dead spots, but I try to dig it out. It's like, hey, we're here. We're not leaving grass. And so, but I think as you plant it, I guess the direction would be, you know, when you come into the local scabs, you're gonna meet with someone, you're gonna attend the classes, and then you're gonna have a plan, and you're gonna draw it up. If this way we did it, is this still how it works?
Yeah, you still have to submit a plan, and we've got, you know, whether you hire that done or you want to do it yourself, that's fine. We have resources for you all the way through. We have resources to help learn how to do irrigation. There's live classes at the garden where you can come in and physically learn how to do the thing. So, you know, we've tried to provide all the things that you need to help you, because we understand it's a process.
Yeah.
So localscapes is kind of the what to do and how should a Utah yard look and what are the components that make it function well. Utah Water Savers is funding that helps you accomplish it. And then the Conservation Garden Park is where you can see it and get ideas and learn new skills that will help you achieve it.
Yeah, Jen, you've talked about the Conservation Garden. It is cool.
Yeah.
It's a great resource. I mean, we went out there a bunch of different times, looked at stuff. And again, let's talk, you're not going to get a rebate if you just change your park strip to rock.
Right. We don't, you know, this is a grass replacement program. It's not just a go from one extreme to the other extreme. It's not just about saving water. It's about creating attractive communities that we all want to live in.
Yeah, rock bakes the trees.
Right, right. So there's that herb. And one of the arguments that we often hear is, well, I've got to have grass there or it's going to get too hot, because they've heard of the urban heat island effect. But grass is just a plant, and it's plants that prevent the urban heat island effect. And you can use plants that need way less water than rock, or than that lawn in order to achieve that same thing. So we require plant coverage.
What we've learned is that the plants are not only... And again, you're going to drip irrigation. So when you turn your water on, none of it's getting on the asphalt. None of it's getting on the sidewalk. My plants get watered. You can't even tell they're getting watered.
And more importantly, you're only watering the stuff you're trying to keep.
Right.
And so you're disadvantaging the weeds.
Right. That's right. You're disadvantaging the weeds, and it's much easier to weed. I mean, no, the elm trees are the exception. They can, like I said, they can grow anywhere. But other than that, most of the weeding is pretty easy. And then there's mulches. I want to talk about that, too, because... You think, oh, most people are familiar with the mulch you get at the dump. You go out there and get that. And that's good mulch. I have no issue with it. There's some other mulches that work really well in Draper. You know, we can put some links to where they are. But
yeah, and I'll also say you can always call the planning department at Draper City to go over what the codes require.
Right.
Any of the planners are happy to sit down and talk to you about the code requirements and or, you know, look at your proposed plan that you've put together and make sure that you comply with codes.
And something, Jen, can we clarify? This recently adopted standard is for new development, right? Not existing homeowners.
Correct.
Having to change things.
Yeah, we're not requiring anybody to change, but if you do want to change your yard, you will be held to the new standards. And then new development obviously will be held.
So that's key. So if you have a yard, don't panic. We're not the local scapes police are not coming out to, you know, make you change your yard. But if you're new development, new property developed, you're going to have to. But again, this program, and I just want to reiterate, our goal is to get you to use this program to not just replace your grass, but make your yard beautiful in a way that saves water for the future, for the present, and just makes it a better, more attractive. I mean, I think I've seen some of these yards and I love them. They're, like you say, people will drive by and stop and say, wow, your yard's beautiful. How did you do
that? Our local scapers tell us that all the time. In fact, one of our local scapers built a new front porch so they could sit outside and take compliments.
Yeah. I actually love sitting on our front area because of it. But anything else, ladies, that you have? Thank you. Thank you for coming. Hopefully, folks, you'll get in the spirit of it. You can make your yard more beautiful. You can save a lot of water, save money, and really kind of change our future.
Just real quick, I did want to put out a pitch. The Draper Tree Committee has been fabulous through this process to help us bring local scapes classes straight to Draper residents. They've helped us refine some of the stuff that really applies specifically to you. So when we teach it here, we add things about firescaping and being firewise. And many of the Draper residents, part of the advantage of living here is being in that urban wildland interface. And so ways that you can use these principles to help protect your home as well. And so I would really thank them for being a great advocates within the community.
Yeah, and then again, all volunteers. Jimmy Doolittle said, "Nothing beats the heart of a volunteer." So, amazing group, and they are amazing, and they're committed people. They love trees. They love beautiful, you know, landscaping, and so hopefully our whole city will catch on, and we will become the model. We're a biking USA city. I'd like to become a water-wise USA city.
Love it.
So join me, Draper citizens. Thank you, ladies, for both being here and your expertise and all your good hard work. Linda, thank you.
Thank you.
Until next time.
For timely information on city news, events, traffic alerts, and public safety emergencies, you may subscribe to email or text notifications from Draper City by visiting draperutah.gov/notify. Or follow us on social media at Draper City Utah on Facebook and at Draper City on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. This has been Draper City Talk. Please join us again.